This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Monday. No rest for the wicked, and that means you. Let's get cracking. So Sia went to a Jewish wedding in Cape Town. Yes. Lifting people on chairs and all that kind of thing during the ceremony. You've been to a Jewish wedding, right? Have you been to one?
Yeah, only Damon's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun.
Lots of salmon.
Well, I mean, weddings are fun. Have you ever been to a wedding that was miserable and shit?
Well, if it is miserable and shit, it's usually entertaining.
I mean,
still.
You'll laugh, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this morning we got a hell of a show for you. We've got a guest host with us this morning, Tatsu Gonzo. How are you, dude?
I'm very good. I'm surprisingly good at this time, I'll be honest.
I know, it's early, right? Doesn't feel natural.
No, for me, today I thought it was going to be horrible when I got the call time, but I'm actually up. I've never been...
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, well, no, I feel...
Well, it's fantastic to have you here. Tatsu Gonzo, in case you don't know, is he's the host of a new show which is called Keeping Up with the Xhosas, and he basically talks about Xhosa people this, Xhosa people that, gets the whole thing going. It's really cool. He says it's the most Kardashian of all the South African tribes. So we'll talk a little bit about that and find out what he's up to. And the show is rated PG-16, starts at 8 in the evening because it's revolting and foul, which is exactly why we thought we'd have him in first thing on a Monday morning to warm you up. But how's the show going, man?
It's good. I think it's long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Xhosa acts that are starting to come up in Joburg, and we've never really had I don't know what it is about Xhosa guys. I don't think we are very, we just do our own thing. And it's so different.
Well,
and, you know.
Xhosa girls do not. They make sure everybody hears. I mean, we're stereotyping horribly here, but I love it.
Yes, this is the type of thing. It's almost like this show is a set the record straight kind of show.
Yeah.
To confirm or deny.
Yes.
Some of the things that are flying around about who we are as a people. You know.
I like Leanne just wants to plug her computer right in where your balls are.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what kind of show is this?
What closest kind of my show? Hands have been to a stranger's crotch.
How long, Leanne?
It's been a while.
Oh, really?
I love the before the...
Yeah.
It's in a
just tidying up her past quickly.
Yes, that's
just arranging the files in her head. Yeah.
Like, closing some tabs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's going well, huh?
No, it's good. And we're looking really excited to it, and people have been responding quite nicely. I think it's one of those things that came out of left field. I think especially with stand-up, people are like looking for something different. Not just kind of stand on the stage and say stuff, but how are you packaging it?
Have you got any negative feedback? Have you got any kind of angry people who are like, oh, you shouldn't say this about, imagine, Patikile Holomisa comes out.
Right.
As the head of like the... what would you call it? Almost like the South African Traditional Leaders Council.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Says to you, oh, you can't represent this in that way. Or you don't get any of that shit. Because you're just trying to have fun. But there's some elder or someone who feels they now need to explain to you that this is actually how you should represent that. And you're not taking this seriously.
Right.
You don't have any of that shit.
Not yet.
Thank God.
It would be very interesting, though, because I don't think we've pushed it to that kind of audience. But that's a very interesting take that.
There are people who just involve themselves in your life, whether you like it or not, and you just have to get on with it, you know.
How have you done it? You must be the master.
Dude. You know, the funny thing about me is I don't have a tribe, right?
Right.
Okay. I don't have a, like, I'm not a Portuguese South African or
right.
a Greek or a Jewish or a Lebanese or a whatever South African. So I'm just me. I don't really, my family's small. I don't have any first cousins. So
wow.
I'm genuinely like kind of out there and doing my own thing, which I like because it means I'm not responsible to any of these authorities.
These
self-imposed. Like I don't have a rabbi or a priest or a sangoma or anyone else to tell me what to do. And as a result, I kind of have to make my own way. And I think it's been an advantage, not a disadvantage. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of belonging and a tribe and that kind of thing. I think it makes people feel... like they have connection, whether it's language or culture or anything else.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's not a priority to me.
Where your tribe?
I suppose I suppose I've made, though, I mean, like, in terms of what we've got here at Cliff Central and the audience that we've got and everything else, we've kind of got a tribe.
Mm. Right? Right.
But it's not, like, anyone can leave when they want to. They can come back in when they want to. Some of them pretend that they listen all the time, but I know they don't.
Right.
It's some of them do.
It's almost like if you can call them to war, they're your tribe.
Maybe, hey? I mean, who would you fight for? Like, would you fight? Because I hear this often from people who feel like they're being predated upon. You know, like, you hear these people who say, well, if my language was under threat, then I would go to war.
And right.
Like, what, for your language? Or if my family were under threat. Now, that I can get, you know.
Yes.
Like, if someone attacked my brother or sister or my little nephews or mom and dad, then I suppose I would go to war for them.
What family member would you guys not go to war for?
Oh,
because I know you say family, and then everyone has like a dude. One.
There's always that uncle, Tats.
Always
that uncle. One uncle.
Why is it always the uncle, though, guys?
I don't know.
Uncles, because uncles just are generally a disaster. They're like, mostly they're a mess.
It's never the aunt, eh?
No one ever talks. Whenever there's a problem, anything, person. Yeah. Yeah. We always run to drunk uncle, and I feel like they don't have a. They've just got bad PR because uncles are not the only horrible people in families.
Yeah, but they are horrible people.
What about mother-in-laws?
Are we going to go there?
Yes.
There's that.
That's dead.
You see, even there, the whole room was like, I don't even have a mother-in-law, and
I don't either. But everybody talks about mother-in-laws like they're wicked witches.
Right.
I don't know. Listen. In my family, there are lots of people I'm not in a hurry. No, they're not a lot. There are a few people I'm not in a hurry to see.
Right.
And I have to really make an effort.
Do they know, is it a feeling that's mutual, or is it like a silent seething?
I don't know. Hey, I mean, I don't hate them, but I think they know that I'm not in a huge hurry to see them. And I don't think they hate me, because otherwise we'd just come to an arrangement where we don't have to see each other.
Right.
Because I don't see that there's a good enough reason, just because you're linked by blood, that you need to spend time with someone.
So
do
what
you agree?
I do. My idea of family, especially since I start, because I was married, now I've got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea of family kind of, or obligation to kind of the family I was born into, kind of took a turn when I was like, oh no, I have kids that I now have to, who look at me as, you know, the family. So my nose have gotten a little bit more, and not even my nose, my ghosting.
Yeah.
I think I'm very bad at responding, but I'm very good at not responding. Which is a kind of no, just a very passive aggressive, the thing you asked,
that's right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, so, I'm not coming to that stupid lunch with you and your mother-in-law and, No.
Oh God!
I feel a sense of responsibility, though, to close family members who I'm related to by blood.
Is it responsibility or guilt?
No, a lot of it is responsibility, because a lot of them need the help.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
And why do you take it on, Leanne? If I'm why are you the?
Because my mom did. And
right. Exactly. Yeah.
She had a stroke 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, landing in my brother's and my lap were all these other family members' lives that she cared for and looked after.
What a selfish bitch. I mean,
I mean, look what she's done to me
how
now.
How could she?
You
how
know?
Dare she have a stroke?
And it's what,
now look where we are.
Oh, man. And you took it on?
Yeah, in her honor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oldest, youngest? Why you?
I'm the oldest out of the sibling and the cousins.
Sometimes it's just the most mature. You might not even be the oldest, but you like look around and go, fuck, no one's going to do it.
I've got to do this.
Yeah.
Got to step up. Well, all right. I spent a little bit of the weekend doing some family stuff. There was a birthday on Saturday, but I had a reasonably big night on Friday. So Saturday I went to this birthday party and I thought, well, maybe I'll go out afterwards. We'll see where my friends are. Man, I went home. I got into bed. I was asleep by 11. I woke up feeling so good yesterday. I felt so good. I have not had that much sleep in a block for months.
Wait, but what time do you normally go to sleep?
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try that, but during the week.
But then not getting up early.
And then I have to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning. Yeah. So on Sunday morning, yesterday, I woke up at maybe 10. But ooh. I woke up a couple of times during the night, but that's okay. You go straight back to sleep.
Mm. Your head sinks further and further into that pillow.
Man, that feeling of when you've just like, you've actually had enough sleep.
Yeah.
It's actually a name for it. It's...
Yeah. Ah, that's great.
And when you feel rich with sleep,
the people can't see, but Gareth's eyes are literally glistening as if you've just discovered something. What are you? You don't sleep.
Tuts, man. I don't sleep. I don't sleep enough. And I know I'm meant to sleep more and it's bad for me and all the, everybody tells me this, but man, we're busy. You know, we got stuff going on, all of us.
So Joburg.
But don't you think that's true, though? Mm. And also, even your weekends are filled up with stuff you got to do and people you got to see and places you got to go. And
it's funny, I asked Tats this morning because I was the first one here and I bumped into him. It was quite early. I said, he's like, it's quite early. Hey, you guys really do this thing? I'm like, yeah, we do. I said to him, what time do you wake up in the morning?
Uh-huh.
What did you say, Tats?
About 9:10.
He's like, yeah, 9:10.
Pretty
like,
standard.
That's very civilized, man.
It's a good life.
That is very civilized. You've got to teach the rest.
And even then, it's 9:10 and then it's to make a decision on whether I'm starting.
I love that, though, because you're in total control of your day.
Yeah.
You can, if you wanted to wake up earlier and do some work or something,
this
you could.
True.
You could. You could get an extra 3 hours on everybody else if you wanted to, or you could get those hours of sleep because you probably work late into the night, right?
Yeah. I used to feel it was so bad. Another comedian, Lazola Gola, actually put me straight because when you leave the kind of traditional work hours,
right,
work and play hours,
yes,
it takes you a while to like get used to the life that you're now living. So I'd be like in Cape Town, for example, gigging in Cape Town, and then I'd wake up in the morning and the sun is up. It's Cape Town. It's a beautiful city. But sure. I don't want to wake up. But then I feel guilty. And then Lazola was saying to me, bro, you've worked your way out of the system where you don't have to enjoy, because people who work 9 to 5 enjoy the weekend and the sun because they don't have it. And he said to me, you can do this on Wednesday or Thursday when they're at work.
And that
bubble burst because I was like, I should be out. And he's like, no, you literally worked your way out of that kind of thinking. It's them that think like that.
That is so wise.
And I've been free ever since. I sleep in with no guilt because I'm like, I'll get the next one.
Mm. That's proper wisdom.
Yeah, he did.
He's right. You've changed. You've broken the week.
I've broken the week.
You know, the whole idea of the week and the weekend comes from the Industrial Revolution, right?
Come on now.
Yeah.
Tell us something.
So what happened was people in the mid and late 1800s when the factories started in Europe.
Yeah.
And they would all leave the land and they'd go into the cities to work in the factories because they could earn more money, but their lives were shit.
Right.
Like people used to wake up early, like 4 or 5 in the morning, start work 6, 7 o'clock, finish work 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 days a week. And then in order to give them a break so they weren't worn down because they were doing hard work. There was like hard factory
like labor,
work.
Yeah.
You know? Then they would say, all right, well, you can have these 2 days on the weekend. Before that, there was no such thing as a weekend. Weekends didn't exist.
That's so
imagine that kind of world where you just keep going and going.
People,
we're in it.
Yeah, people do. And this is precisely like we joked last Monday about the Gambia, which is this place in the west of Africa where they have a 4 day week.
Oh, beautiful.
So they work Monday to Thursday, basically. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, people have got off. But I mean, in this country, we've got more than one public holiday a month on our calendar. So we're lazy as shit anyway. So, I mean, we basically...
And then there are strikes.
People in South Africa, we there are people who work very hard, don't get me wrong. Very, very hard. People who have a tough, labor-filled life. Use their hands.
Yeah.
They sweat. They toil. People in mines. And, I mean, we've got some really, really hard work in this country that... most of us don't even know the first thing about. But in the whole scheme of things, like, we shouldn't be doing that anymore. Humans should have got to the point now where that kind of stuff, robots can do it.
Right.
And we should all be able to, like yesterday, I shook a dude's hand at a shop. He came up to me at one of these garage shops and he said to me, hey, hi, how are you? And he was very polite and friendly. So I said, hi. His hand was so rough, you could feel like he'd been spending his life, like an older guy.
Mm.
He'd spent his life working those, you know, he's been doing
fixing cars
digging
or
mining
something.
Or mechanics or something.
Pick,
you know,
and shovel type.
Yeah. He's probably somewhere right now going, and I shook his hand, it was so fucking soft.
Yeah, that's it. He's thinking, what
wonder
a pussy.
What
he hasn't worked a day in his life.
Yeah, he's like,
what a pussy. No calluses. Clearly he's never picked up a weapon or anything useful. It's just amazing. Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know that we've necessarily figured it all out, but we're getting better. Things are on an upward trend. That's what I keep telling everybody. All right, so we'll talk about Tats's show a little bit later on, so you can take a look at it if you haven't already. And the show's at the 31st of August, VodaWorld, right?
VodaWorld, yeah.
Very
mid-rand.
Nice.
Mid-rand.
165 rand a person from CompuTicket online or retail. That is very reasonable, I've got to say.
Thank you.
Very reasonable.
For that lineup, absolutely.
For sure. Very, very nice.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk a little bit about the show in a little while. There's some comedy. There's some music in the show as well.
Yeah,
you fuse those.
I play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I found people accept things when they're in song, than when I just straight say them. It's
you,
a weird.
You can almost get away with more, right?
Yeah, I do. I like to talk about stuff that it's not to be confrontational or make people uncomfortable, because sometimes people misunderstand my comedy and say I'm controversial.
Right.
But it's not for that. It's, you know, when you walk into a room and you can feel the elephant there,
yes,
and all you have to do is just say elephant and everyone kind of...
they relax a little.
Yes.
Realize, oh
it humanizes
God,
people.
This guy's not against us.
Yes. Like I was doing Parker's this weekend. And the week before I went to Babylon. Now, if you don't know Babylon, it's a gay club. Yeah, in
very
Ilova.
But a fun place. I mean, like in Joburg,
but that's
it's one,
the
of
thing.
The few, one of the few places you can go out and actually not be around douchebags.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
So I walk into Babylon and this is an honest feeling. I've never had this feeling before. And it was in my head because it was a gay club and,
you weren't going to say it out loud.
Yes, and my head kind of does its own thing as I try to control it. But as I walked in, I could just feel that everyone wanted to fuck me.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Oh,
but it was
dude.
A feeling, right?
Did you clinch?
No. It wasn't even that. It was just because I've walked into rooms full of women. I've never felt that.
Well done to you, though. I mean,
but
that's a hell of a thing.
But here's why.
Very nice.
It was because it was in the air. Now, when you go to and at Parker's, I was telling them this, and I'm like, in here, I can feel the sexual tension because I know everyone wants to have it here, but it's very hush.
Mm.
And the refreshing thing about Babylon, it was just in the air as much as the fun and the music. You could feel
the horniness.
That it wasn't even horniness. It was just a liberation.
Okay, yeah.
Sex wasn't this thing that everyone's on a date. And, you know, when you go to, when I was there, I was like, you want to have sex? I say to a couple. Everyone's like, giggling. Until eventually I started just talking about this nonsense of what happens to us. When you're in high school, primary school, you talk about everything. The date, the movie, she held your hand. You remember in high school, a kiss, like you
That's
told
it.
Oaks on Monday.
Yes.
And people were listening.
Yes.
And then as we get older, I don't know where, we just stop.
It just becomes about sex.
And then sex, and then it just stops.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time a friend of yours or a friend of mine was like, I had sex with my girlfriend yesterday? It just becomes this thing that we don't talk about. And then
it's more like that comes with that. We still haven't had sex.
Yes. So then now there's problems. And
it's been a year.
So I was just talking about that, where it's like, guys, we need to get that spirit of Babylon in these places. Because it's like...
Why do you think people are uptight about talking about this stuff? Like, why do you think people are so... And especially they're worried about what other people think the whole time.
Right.
Surely that's got to have got a little bit better. In a world of social media where... Are we ever going to get to a stage where people are boastful about, gee, I went home last night, I had the greatest sex ever.
But Gareth, not even that. Yesterday, I three strokes and I was out. Shit.
But look, I think as guys, we're more open with that kind of conversation amongst each other.
Right.
We talk about those things.
Oh, women are too. They just don't share it with us.
Ah, Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
I love how everyone looked at Leanne as the ambassador. Leanne?
Yeah.
Is Leanne on behalf of us?
Tell us more.
I represent all women.
On behalf of all the women who have ever lived, Leanne, yes. Go on. Give us the lowdown.
What do you guys whisper about?
Your dick.
No.
My head, but it was in my head.
No, you know what? If it's, it depends on which stage of your life you're at.
Yes.
You know, if you're at the stage of just messing around and one night standing, you'll give huge details, you know, because you don't really hold a respect for the person much.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So you'll talk about his mushroom-shaped penis or whatever.
That's what Donald Trump's lover did. That's a Stormy Daniels.
Right. Yeah.
But when you're in a relationship and there's mutual respect, the conversation does die out a bit. And then there's the next stage where you might not have had sex for a couple of months.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know what the problem is. And then it'll get quite in-depth where you say, you know, what sort of things are you doing to turn him on?
Right,
does he turn you on?
Right.
So it depends, yeah.
So for me, when you, because you equated talking about it with disrespect, which is where I, stop for investigation. Because why is talking about it equated to disrespect? Yes, there's an intimacy between the two of you, but does that necessarily mean now you shut literally the rest of the world out because you guys are
closer? Boasting because you're really proud of it, you know. It could be.
That's just weird.
There's a possibility of that. It is. I mean, humans, we're never going to figure this stuff out, right? We're never going to totally get over ourselves.
Yeah, it's the same with money.
Totally. But people are as embarrassed about talking about money as they are about sex.
Pocket money in high school. Hey, man, I've got 50 cents, guys. We can buy an ice bun. We'll share it. Or whatever. If you had 2 rand, it's my age.
I know. 2 rand was a lot once. I know. There are probably people laughing.
I just realized, it's like, oh my gosh, how poor did this guy grow up? Your 2 rand was bawling back then.
Dude, 2 rand, if my parents gave me 2 rand, I could make that last 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, to go to a movie, get popcorn.
Now we sound old.
Yeah. And I'm waiting for this number, Leanne.
And then play the arcade games afterwards. If it's $20.
Done.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Did you just say really? As if
I didn't grow up in that era, I must say.
Google's like 10.
I look a little old, but I am like 12.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And there was that, what made it nice was that big, round 1 rand coin.
Mm. Man, it felt like you had...
all of it.
It was a huge, big coin. Now that 1 rand, you almost lose it in the...
Yeah, you know you have 1 rand now.
Yeah,
but back then, you were like, I have all the money in the world. It was just this huge coin that you just slammed and was like,
yeah,
two nigger balls.
It meant
balls,
something.
Please.
Yeah.
Rainbow
did
balls.
Did you say nigger balls? Please don't
Oh, now I have to explain. Oh, my God.
Say that. No, sorry. You gotta,
rainbow balls.
You better
balls.
Take that back quickly, motherfucker. There's going to be the Afriforum people.
Everybody.
I can't believe. Human rights. My whole primary school was called that.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was, no. But like.
No, but it was.
But also,
yeah.
The way we pronounced it, because I didn't know what it meant.
No one did.
Because I wasn't really into American culture in that way. But I actually thought the way we said it, it was spelled N-I-C-K-E-R.
Knicker.
I thought they were knicker balls.
Knicker balls.
And I thought that was quite funny because knickers in the UK are
turns
underway.
Out it's pretty underway. Damn racist.
Turns out it's just
yes.
Not that.
And it's so weird because when you're young, you don't realize it. But then I remember like there was this whole big fuss about this voting thing when I was in 94.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
And then there was like, oh, we have a new president. And then the flag changed.
Yes.
And then, so by the time I went to school and it was called a rainbow ball, I just thought it was just part of this whole name-changing thing.
Rainbow
Nation.
And then
I just went with it. Well, never, ever questioning why.
That's very forward-thinking of you. You moved us forward.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, okay. Can I have one of those then?
Whatever that thing is.
Whatever you want to call it, can I have one of those.
Yeah, all right. Well, the one person who's not afraid to talk money is Anthea. She'll be joining us just now for the Money Shot. And we'll get into some of the finances. We've got some info from Revix with cryptocurrencies a bit later on. And plenty of other good stuff to talk about. So there's news. Anybody do anything fun over the weekend?
I wouldn't call it fun, but it was very interesting. I watched this documentary on obesity in China and how it's the rise.
Really? Because I thought the Chinese... Is this because they've now taken on a Western diet?
Exactly that. Yeah. So your fast food restaurants are becoming more and more popular. It's all deeply fried Western stuff. But also, you know, the one-child policy. These kids are becoming like millennials in a way with being spoilt and feeling like they're the only one in the world who matters. and they tend to manipulate their parents into buying these westernized foods, Oreos and all of that sort of thing.
Before they didn't do this?
No, there was this respect. And the ways that they handle it is quite interesting. The most common and popular way, because these parents will spend all the money they have on their kid, hey?
Of course, yeah, cause especially if it's your only kid.
Yeah. Right. So they'll spend like $5,000.
Spoiled as hell.
On sending them to these like militarized boot camps to lose weight. And yeah, these are children that
because
are like...
Because if you're going to have one kid, you don't want it to be a fat kid, right?
These kids are 11 or 12 and they're 30 kilograms overweight.
Oh,
that's a kid on top of a kid.
Yeah.
It is.
With big, long boobies.
That's an enormously fat child.
That is a fat
And they're
children.
Going to these camps for a month and they lose like 30 Ks in a month. They're not allowed to use their phones. It's like strict. They're not allowed to laugh. But then they come out and they put it all out
again.
Not
allowed to laugh.
No laughing.
Is laughing bad?
Is this something you're adding? Because you realize that when we listen, even when I'm listening, every single thing you're saying is true.
It is.
Not allowed to laugh.
No, the one guy had to be punished. He had to stand with his toes on the edge of something and his heels hanging free for like half an hour just because he laughed.
Good.
Was that a chuckle?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Like, you're disrespecting me.
Wow.
They're all former military guys that run the training. Then the other way they do it is, especially with the older people,
hectic.
They're still into acupuncture and cupping.
Yes.
And cupping's quite painful.
Yes, it is. And they do that to the fat kids too?
Yeah, they do.
It's hard to be fat.
And the other way is surgery. They're sending in their 21-year-old daughters to go in for gastric bypass surgery.
Jesus.
I love, because now it's on the back of Gareth's, like, saying, but it's getting better, we're getting better. And then you tell the story, meanwhile, like, oh, no.
Meanwhile, in China.
Yes. Meanwhile, yeah.
Children
so
is,
it was quite surprising.
Children is punished.
Oh, wow. Man.
It's crazy.
Very interesting.
I bumped into you driving around with your kid this weekend, Leanne.
How big is Leanne's kid?
It's about like a hot dog size little dog.
Oh, right.
Literally a little hot dog. Where was I?
Look, in Malvern.
Melvin.
Was it Melville or Malvern?
Melville, Malvern. I don't know. Which
yeah, that area over there. So I hoot at her. She looks at me and looks away. I'm like, okay, so in the streets we don't know each other.
Were we doing on the zigzaggy part of the left, right, left, right?
Yeah.
I heard a hoot and I was like, but I did nothing wrong.
The dog got startled. That old sausage boy. Have you seen a dog?
Isn't that amazing? Like, we immediately spring to like, I did nothing wrong.
I was like, but I didn't.
Because there's nothing a hoot can only. How do you interpret a hoot otherwise?
You look and see, do I know the person? Is it a friend?
I'm just like eyes void, what did I do?
You don't go, oh, someone's greeting me.
No, hang on.
But you do swivel
I've
your
driven,
head.
I've driven past people I know that sometimes they just don't see
you get
any
those
of that
people.
Stuff.
Right.
You might as well be telling them that they've committed a crime. They wouldn't know the difference. All right, let's get into some news. Do you want to hear what's in the headlines this morning?
Yes.
All right. Well, just for your edification and to help you make your way through the day, just so you don't feel like you're completely paying no attention to anything, because God knows the news is crap.
Yeah.
But let's try. Here are some news stories. Horrible story to start with, but we can't ignore it. 10 people have died in hospital following a crash in the N1 South near the Buccleuch Interchange in Johannesburg Sunday afternoon. Horrible, horrible accident. 9 people died on the scene. The 10th died in hospital, and 3 others were injured. There's definitely a factor of high speed because of the impact. The taxi collided with a concrete barricade. One of the passengers was ejected from the taxi and flung onto the other side of the highway. Now,
over all those lanes.
You know what that, I mean, like, imagine you're just driving along on the other side of the highway.
Oh, God.
And this happens and you can't do anything and the person's flying and they go under your car. Like, technically, you've killed a person. I mean, this is just horrible, right? Mm. Taxi driver is believed to have lost control of his vehicle before it hit into the concrete barricade. Wayne Minar from the Metro Police said, traffic is still heavy. Well, not anymore, but it was at the time. And obviously this morning, Gugu saw an accident too. He actually phoned us and warned us.
Mm.
There was,
on the phone,
There was some kind of, like a 5 a.m. accident on a Monday morning. That's a terrible way to start your week.
Yeah.
So please, like, take it easy on the roads. Another horrible story. More than 135 people displaced after a fire broke out at the Joe Slovo informal settlement near Milnerton. How many times in the winter do we have to tell the story about how in these informal settlements, because everybody's building so close to each other, that what happens is a fire starts and it just keeps spreading. Mm. There's nowhere for it to stop. You know, even in a field, you've got a fire break because otherwise the fire jumps over and it starts another fire. So this is just, I don't know what the solution is to this problem.
I feel like people don't listen to you, Garrett, because you say this all the time.
But Google, I don't think they have a lot of options. Like, I don't think people exactly have, you know, kilometers of space that they can, well, let's make the house a little bigger,
yes.
Mildred.
Yes.
You know, this is not what we're talking about. So there isn't an easy solution to this problem. But on Sunday morning, the blaze broke out, quickly spread through the informal settlement of Joe Slovo in Milnerton. No fatalities or injuries, luckily. But 45 structures gutted in the blaze. As I say, it just spreads from one to the next and the next to the next. And then people lose everything.
Literally.
Yeah. So the Cape Town City's disaster management spokesperson, Charlotte Powell, said relief operations were underway. Informal settlement management will provide residents with starter kits to rebuild their dwellings. Solid waste will remove fire debris. And the SA Social Security Agency, that's SASA, will try and provide humanitarian relief. More than 135 people are displaced after that fire. It's just another terrible story and an awful, awful way for these people to have spent their weekend. So if your weekend wasn't fun, maybe you want to just take a minute to think about people who are a lot less happy than you are for obviously much more decent reasons. Outgoing Itegwini Interim Mayor Fawzia Peer says if the ANC decides so, she's more than ready to serve as an ordinary councillor in the same council she was once second in command. Well, she was second in command to Gumede, who's this Zandile Gumede, who's been the ANC's Itegwini mayor for the longest time.
Yes.
Now, this woman, she's left in a cloud of scandal and dust and mess and theft and fraud. I mean, she's convicted and now she's eventually been fired by the ANC in KZN. And this woman that we're talking about now, Fawzia Peer, she is the 2IC.
Oh, yeah.
So chances are if the mayor was involved in skullduggery, so was she. And she's also been fired.
Aye, aye, aye.
So now she's saying, oh, but if anyone wants me, I'm available.
Ordinary.
Yeah, sure, because this woman's never going to find work in the private sector. Right? No one's going to hire the 2IC to the rotten Itegwini mayor. Yeah, we've just hired Fawzia, guys. Come and meet Fawzia, our new head of compliance. Please. Right? You're going to run a mile. So there she is, trying to get a job. She's angling for a job. And then in other news, Zimbabwe. We have to occasionally pay attention to what's going on in Zimbabwe, even though it's there's no good news coming out of there. Police have banned an anti-government demonstration planned for Monday by the country's main opposition party in the city of Bulawayo, saying it would likely result in public disorder. Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
Because people they're so happy and content in their lives. That, you know, why would they want to lose that by protesting? Apparently, they banned another demonstration planned by the Movement for Democratic Change in Harare on Friday, when they chased opposition supporters from the capital streets with tear gas and arrested dozens of people. The MDC, which accuses the president, Emmerson Mnangagwa's government, of repression and mismanagement, called the protests over the country's worst economic crisis in a decade. And ordinary citizens are experiencing hardships, so any call for demonstrations might be taken advantage of by the already agitated citizens and violence may erupt. Oh, really? That's what the police say.
May erupt.
So instead of sorting out the reasons that people are so miserable, like maybe running a government that isn't completely failed, maybe that would be a start. Instead, you clamp down on the people who are desperate to make their voices heard, to let you know that you're a shit government. How about that?
Tats, what's so funny?
No, I'm just enjoying. Ooh, I've never heard news, because news is usually very straight, but... Yeah. The commentary, the running commentary that...
You should listen to us more.
Very
often.
Passive-aggressive, too.
Right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe the government that hasn't... I mean, I don't know, but maybe.
You should
but
hear
maybe.
The fire story. The fire story is always the funniest.
Protesters gather for a rally in Victoria Park in Hong Kong. And this is now just over the weekend. Because this is, in fact, last night. The latest opposition to a planned extradition law that has since morphed into a wider call for democratic rights in a semi-autonomous city. Hong Kong, just tens of thousands of people are in the streets right now as we speak. You know, these people just want to not be bullied by China.
Mm.
They would like to not be taken into the Chinese mainland in a way that they lose their individual rights and liberties, which were guaranteed to them, by the way, when Britain did the handover all the years back, 1997, 98, somewhere around there. Was it then, or was it even a little bit later than that? I don't remember. But somewhere in the late 90s, early 2000s, Hong Kong was handed back to the Chinese. And there was a condition, and the people of Hong Kong were insistent on this, that they maintain their individual rights and liberties, just like people in the Western world would do. They'll continue to contribute to China. They'll have basically an open border situation where there's total trade. The Chinese will administer Hong Kong just like they administer all the other territories. But there's certain rules there that will stay in place in order to keep it the open society that it had become. And it was a bit of a shining light in the Chinese mainland for a long time, because it was the main port of entry for people from the rest of the world. Most of China was very shut off until quite recently. And this was the deal. You can't go back on a deal like that. These people have stayed in Hong Kong because they believed that that deal would be honored. And now the Chinese are saying, well, we're going to extradite these people who we don't agree about. You know, saying things about our government. We're going to take these people into our Beijing prisons. And the people of Hong Kong said, hell no. And it's mostly very peaceful. It's mostly just ordinary citizens, old, young, rich, poor. Everybody's in the streets together. And the Chinese want it to break out into something violent so that they can then get heavy-handed themselves. Right. We know they do this. We've seen Tiananmen Square. We've seen a number of other protests that have been quashed very strongly and stringently. So I feel for the people of Hong Kong, and I think anybody who lives in the free world, and I suppose nominally we can consider ourselves to live in the free world because we're allowed to talk like we are this morning, we should be supporting these people. These are people who just want the basic freedom that most of us in the civilized first world and even parts of the world that are a little less clear-cut know that these are the keys to human happiness. I mean, let these people be free. And China, get your dirty, filthy hands off of the people who you're trying to extradite into the Chinese mainland. It's going to be bad for Hong Kong's business climate, I'm sure we'll find out from Anthea shortly. So those are the stories in the news this morning. Those are the main stories, the things you need to know today, and we'll get to a few more of those a little bit later on.
Did you hear about the 300 million rand heist?
Really? What?
Yeah.
Another one?
Johann Rupert, I think. They robbed him of jewelry.
Yeah, we spoke about this last week. Weren't you listening to the news?
I probably wasn't here.
And it wasn't him. They stole. They stole from one of his companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't him. Well, they didn't go to his house.
In my head, that I'm like, know, they got into his
the
house.
Way he's telling the story, right?
Well, clearly I'm a terrible storyteller.
And you didn't listen to the news last week because we've already covered this, Google.
Jeez.
All right, so let's get to Anthea, shall we? See what's going on in the world of finance. Anthea works hard for your money every Monday morning. Hey, Anthea.
Good morning.
Let's just get straight to it. No time for a song this morning.
No time for a song. Oh, dear. No. Okay, well, I better get into it then, right?
Well, you've got a lot of news to tell us. I was looking at what you've got on your agenda. First of all, we've got to talk about Argentina.
Yeah, so I think this is important because...
Have you said hello to Tats?
Hello, good morning.
We did a silent little wave when you
yeah,
walked in.
Yeah, but we
studio.
Haven't met, have we?
No, we haven't.
Well, lovely to meet you now.
Pleasure to meet you online.
Good, little nice. Handshake. Very formal.
We all got to witness this lovely meeting this morning. How nice. All right.
Back to Argentina then,
yes,
shall we?
Yes, let's go.
So last week, the Argentinians voted for Alberto Fernandez. So this is their primary election. And things are going very badly. The peso fell 30%. Uh-oh. The country's biggest bank fell 55%. The stock market fell 50%. I mean, this is really bad. And you can only imagine what this does for one, lending rates, consumer sentiment, and then people's pension funds, because people are invested in the stock market. And the reason the story is so important for me, anyway, is because it shows that investors do not want to be invested in countries with populist governments. You know, this is a guy saying, yeah, don't worry, we're going to create
like
a new Argentina.
Is he like Bolsonaro in Brazil?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, actually.
And we've heard this new Argentina thing before from Juan Perón back in the 1950s.
Well, this is they're called Peronists.
Peronistas.
Peronistas.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Thank you very much for correcting my accent.
Sure.
And this was pretty much after their currency crashed last year. And, you know, in 98, they defaulted on their debt. So this is kind of...
Ooh, hang on. This sounds a little bit like what we might have to deal with. So what happened?
But go through analogous. It. Yeah.
Give it to us in some detail so we can just be prepared for what's coming.
Right. So in the 90s, very bad economy, managed very badly, populist government. 98, they didn't have enough money, so they defaulted on their government debt or their international debt they borrow from other countries. And then they kind of turned it around and they implemented austerity measures. Mm-hmm. And then the government said, well, we don't like, well, the people said, we don't like this very much. And now they're voting for another populist government and everything's crashing again.
Oh, boy.
Not to mention the IMF bailout in between all of this, right?
So they got an IMF bailout.
Yeah, somewhere around 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did it help them, the IMF bailout?
It did, actually, to a point. But then when the IMF says austerity measures have to come in place and you can't just spend ludicrously on crazy things that you don't need, then the people object, right? And they riot. And
of course.
Yeah. Sound too analogous, does it?
It's
South
just
Africa.
A little too close for comfort, that's all.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know what happens when Argentina crashes, because we're an emerging market and we get thrown into the same bucket, and South African rand is probably one of the most liquid of all the currencies in the emerging market. Our currency crashed and burned. So, I mean, not to the extent that the peso
Anthea.
Did.
We're having a great start to our morning, thanks to you.
Okay. I'm just going to skip straight forward, like way down my list of things to talk about the IMF, because you're making me feel bad. The IMF spoke last week and said that actually they don't think South Africa needs a bailout. South Africa has not asked for a bailout. And the IMF would prefer if countries fixed their own problems without a bailout. Does that make you feel better?
Well, no, because I was kind of holding out for that.
You want the bailout. You want the IMF to take control of our purse.
Do you? Tell the truth. Come on, Anthea. Help me out here. I mean, I'm not clever enough to figure this out. I need you.
To be honest, I'd rather the government did manage to fix it, because if the IMF took control, they certainly would implement austerity measures. And I think the general populace doesn't understand that. And it can be hard. It can be very difficult. Sure, they'll control things very carefully, and they'll probably put us back on a kind of straight and narrow. But really, it would be better if our government figured out how to fix it themselves.
You think they can? I mean, we've got Eskom. Come on, don't go all silent on me.
There was a deadly silence there.
Crickets.
You don't think we can? You don't think this government can figure this stuff out?
I think they probably could, but they're so busy fighting each other that I don't think they're going to.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Okay. There's too much noise. There's too much populism. There's too much trying to keep everybody happy. And just there's way too much corruption in government at the moment. And I know our president's trying to fix it and trying to root out the corruption, but quite frankly, we really need to start concentrating on the economy and growing the economy. I mean, like, I don't know how we're surprised by the fact that this is all so bad all of a sudden.
Do you believe him when he says he's trying to root out all this stuff?
I do, actually. Okay. Because I see him doing it step by step, but very slowly. You know, like, what we want is a new broom, sweeping clean, you know, just axe everybody who's corrupt. But he's not doing it. And
so
obviously he's playing politics.
Would you say a bit of patience is maybe a good idea?
We don't have time for that, though. That's my concern. And yes, we definitely need patience, because I think he can do it. But unfortunately, we don't have time. No. You know, I'm nervous about the October mini budget coming up. It's going to be ugly. And out of that, potentially, Moody's will downgrade us to junk, which means we are junk across all the credit rating agencies. And then you'll see our rand weaken significantly, more than it has already.
Okay, well, that's... Isn't this great, Tats?
Yeah,
Tats is so happy you came in today.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, thanks, Leanne. It's always, right? Yeah. It's always my fault.
All right, so what are you going to tell us now? What are the bad things you're going to tell us about?
I want to tell you about the inverted U.S. yield curve.
What
the devil is that? Come, I'll tell you.
I asked someone about this last Thursday. I asked Canton Pillay, and he tried to explain it to me. And he did an okay job, but I'm still not 100% sure. So apparently when the price of these bonds is just sky high and the yield is less than zero, it's negative.
Yeah, this that's nominal negative rates. Germany have had that for months.
All right,
yeah.
So what is
happened
suddenly
now? So we're not talking
about
nominal negative rates. So okay. The U.S. rates are not negative yet. In fact, the 10-year is trading at 1.67, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens when you, as an investor, you lend the government money to build infrastructure, et cetera, right?
Right.
So you would be buying government bonds. Okay. And the yield on that bond is the interest rate that the government pays you as an investor.
Mm-hmm.
So you're lending the government money. The government says, thanks very much. I'm going to pay you, in the US's case, 2% per annum for lending me your money.
Right.
And I will use it to build infrastructure. And at the end of the 10 years, I will pay you back all your money. And obviously, over the 10 years, you've made your interest payment. So if you're going to lend money to the government for 3 months, assume that the interest rate is going to be lower than if you're going to lend them money for 10 years, because the risk for lending money longer should be more.
More.
And
right.
So for taking more risk,
because you don't know what's going to happen,
a higher interest rate as the lender.
Got
right.
you.
Right. So what?
You didn't think you'd come here for this lecture.
No, this is. I'm so grateful for this, because it's like such a thing that affects all of us, but very few people know.
Or can explain
what
it quite
anything
simply.
You guys yeah. have said means. Mm. So this
right.
is great.
Right. Go on.
So the yield curve basically is this little dot plot. 3 months, let's call it, is 1%. 1 year is 1.2%. 2 years is 1.5%. All the way out to 10 years, which is 2%. So it starts at the bottom and it goes up. That's a yield curve. That's all that is. You're
okay.
plotting the interest rate over the 10 years. So if I lend you money for a year, you'll pay me 1%. If I lend it to you for 10 years, you'll pay me more than that, right?
Okay, got you.
So what happens when the yield curve inverts is that the 10-year rate suddenly is lower than, in this case, the 2-year rate.
Okay.
And that's a negative yield curve. And the problem with this is that every single time the U.S. yield curve has inverted over the last 50 years, except for one false indication, it has been followed by a recession.
Mm. Oh, mm. ding, ding, ding.
Mm. Here we go.
All that to set us up for that.
Sorry, man. but so we don't know when it's going to happen. So in some instances, the yield curve has inverted and we've waited a year and a half for the recession. In other times, the yield curve has inverted and the recession has happened in 6 months. But every single time in the last 50 years, except for one, we've had a recession after the yield curve has inverted. And then last week, of course, it happened briefly. The 10-year Treasury yield was lower than the 2-year yield. And it hasn't inverted since June 2007. And we all know what happened at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009.
All right. So what are you preparing us for here? I feel like you're trying to give us bad news, but you're trying to make it like a soft landing. Go on, Anthony. We're all big. We're strong. We can handle this.
So there's definitely a recession coming. Probably, definitely. Okay. So we've been expecting global slowdown. And look, this happens because the market is cyclical. Everything happens inside, in
it's sick.
And down.
You could have just ended it there.
Cyclical.
Cyclical. Yeah. All right.
And how long it lasts and how deep the recession is, nobody knows. I mean, optically, it looks like the bigger the differential between the yield curve, the negative differential, the longer and deeper the recession. And this is like, now it just happened very quickly and off we go. My concern is that the governments this time around do not have enough ammunition to turn it around quickly enough. You know, so in 2008, interest rates were really high. And what did the U.S. government do? They just lowered interest rates so that the consumer spending kept going. And they loaned money. The governments took money onto their balance sheet. I don't think governments are strong enough to be able, or their balance sheets are not strong enough to be able to do that this time around. Mm. So I'm worried that governments and central banks don't have enough ammunition to stave off quite a deep recession. But I do think that if countries could just sort themselves out and stop fighting trade wars, they would go a long way to staving off this recession.
Which president are you talking about? There's only one president who likes trade wars, and they're tremendous.
That was very good.
And that's really funny, because actually that particular president turned around the other day and said, I have to find the quote actually, because it's so good. He said, Good things were stated on the call. He was talking about China.
China.
He says, let them work humanely with Hong Kong first, he says. So he's laid down the rules for China. In any case,
I like China.
The clueless Fed, not China, he says, is the problem.
His clueless Fed.
Yes. Jesus. I mean, this man, he's something else, isn't he?
Huh? Isn't he unbelievable? He's just like, he's a complete menace.
He's laughing.
Listen, it is what it is. What are you going to do? Get upset about it? I love these people who get cross about what's going on.
What are you going to do?
It's happening.
So all my bad news, what are you going to do?
All right.
So just kind of just on that, Gareth, maybe a bit of investment advice. I think, you know, if you're young and you're invested in the equity market, don't worry, it's probably going to bounce. If you're closer to retirement and you need that cash, or you're going to need that cash in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, I would say start thinking about moving it into fixed income or to some sort of money market, just as a capital preservation measure, or some sort of income fund.
So
you don't, you have a choice, right? I mean, you don't have to be invested in the stock market. You don't have to be invested in shares, which is such a shame, because South African, like, consumer shares and banks at the moment, there are some shares that are so dirt cheap. I am itching to buy some banks. Standard Bank came out with their results not last week, the week before. I would love to buy Standard Bank shares, but actually I don't see a turnaround in the economy. There's no catalyst for the share to increase or to rise. And so I'm nervous.
All right. So what are the options then? If you don't invest in shares,
be more heavily weighted to bonds and money market instruments.
Okay.
Look at that.
So there we go. We've got the U.S. yield curve inverted, discussed and described. We've discussed Argentina and the trade war with China and America. Are there any other things on your agenda?
Well, we did have retail sales last week, which grew better than expected. It came out at 2.4%, a little bit of a green shoot, which is quite nice. We were expecting 2.3, so not huge. Which is funny because, in the same token, Choppies. Do you remember Choppies?
Of course I do. Botswana supermarket.
We love Choppies. Well, we used to love Choppies, didn't we? That's not true. We just like the name. Yeah, we never liked the share. We always just liked the name. They said last week, even after retail sales grew, that they're going to close their stores, their grocery stores in South Africa. So they generally operate in the lower LSMs, and they've got 88 stores in South Africa. I mean, the number of
times. Are they going to shut them down?
Yep.
Oh, God.
I know, that's how bad things have been. So I think ShopRite and Pick n Pay are probably going to pick up those stores. They're probably best placed to pick it up, you know. And the stores that will benefit, obviously, are like the Boxer and those kinds of stores where they're very similar. ShopRite stores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, take your word for it. Sounds good. Okay, Anthea, thank you very much. Anything else?
My pleasure. I think that's pretty much it for this week.
So it's quite a lot to chew on. Thank you. Just before 7 o'clock, we're going to check in with Revix quickly. Haven't spoken to Louis for a while. Louis Bass is standing in for Sean Saunders, and he is on Skype. We're going to talk just a little bit about cryptocurrency, because Anthea didn't mention it, but I think that's, in the end, not a bad place to be putting your money if you don't believe in governments and you don't think governments have got the right way of dealing with money. So let's go to Louis and find out what he has for us this morning. Hey, Louis, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. Good, thanks. Yourself?
Good. Nice to talk to you, man. So let's just talk quickly about the Rand devaluing, and I had to buy some Forex yesterday, so I'm feeling this especially hard. Last Friday. So let's just look at this. The Rand dropped from somewhere in the 1370s to like 15-something to the dollar in a space of just a couple of hours. Obviously, for a lot of people, if you have many of your assets or some of your investments in rands, this is then going to be a very negative thing to happen to you. You could assuage this in some way if you just leveraged some of the cryptocurrency indexes that you guys have, for example, that are doing very well, right?
Yes, of course. I mean, I think there are two parts to this, Gareth. I think the first one that you mentioned, which is your more short-term swaying. So as you've seen, kind of the Rand devaluing by close to 10-15% over the last few weeks. But also, I mean, I think one thing that people forget quite often is that this is more of the Rand is more structurally devaluing against all of the major hard currencies around the world. So the Rand, the dollar, the euro, the pound. Mm-hmm. So what that essentially means, I mean, it's quite, there's a lot of theory that goes into this and whether it's nominal or actual or any of these other things. But just for, to put it as basic as possible, if most of your assets are valued in Rand or Rand denominated, you are, and over the last 6 years, basically becoming 10% poorer relative to the dollar every single year. And that's just that over the last 6 years, the Rand has devalued relative to the dollar by over 60%. So essentially the way that comes out is essentially when people save, they think, you know, one day that that American holiday is going to feel affordable. But the odds are so stacked against you if you don't make use of some of these kind of offshore allowances to actually invest in a in an asset that kind of does not devalue alongside the Rand. So that's kind of the basic point along two sides.
Well, you said there that a lot of people would do trading. So they would do almost on a daily basis, you know, kind of trying to do arbitrage between the two currencies. So cryptocurrencies and Rand, or dollars and crypto, or Rand and dollars, whatever it might be. The fact is that you should have a much more long-term approach to this, right? And this is what you guys advise as well, is you shouldn't look at this in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that do your short-term kind of day swing trading and things like that, and people do make money out of that. But you have to that is a profession. You have to spend pretty much all of your day understanding these sways and understanding how these things work. At the end of the day, to understand the structural devaluation and the long-term incentive of actually diversifying your portfolio. So, and I mean, diversifying at the level of Rand versus any other asset that is not denominated Rand, so cryptocurrency falls into that bracket, you are making a great choice long-term. And you will only see those. It's when people pull up these stats that say the Rand is devalued by 60-something percent to the dollar over the last 6 years. So think of yourself sitting in 6 years looking back, thinking the money that you actually put into something else that was not a savings account with FNB or whatnot, but was into something else that was dollar denominated. Crypto does fall into that bracket.
Right.
You're looking at an average of 60% increase. But, you know, these are things that you need to have a long-term view to even start to understand.
Now, just go through some of the indexes that you guys have at Revix so that we can just get our heads right around this for one more time. Because we're chatting to you and Sean for this week and next week, and then we'll have to figure it out for ourselves from then. So I'm going to abuse you two while you're around. Just give us another idea of what you offer in the cryptocurrency indexes.
Okay, cool. So Revix offers four different bundles. Mm-hmm. They mimic indexes. But essentially, we've got one, which is the top 10, which holds the top 10 cryptocurrencies globally, equally weighted, but selected by market cap. And that's kind of our bread and butter, your standard, no thinking, just want to have a piece of the market, look at it again in 5 years kind of position. And then we've got three other products. These are what we would call thematic, or the currencies within them are selected along a theme. So we have one, payments, which selects cryptocurrencies that work well for payments. Mm-hmm. We have one, privacy, which has cryptocurrencies selected for their privacy benefits. And then we have got platform, which is cryptocurrencies that work with kind of decentralized computation platforms like Ethereum, NEO, those things. So each one of these bundles gives you exposure to different big use cases that blockchain actually allows or enables. So between these four bundles, you can get a pretty good, I would say, stab at the cryptocurrency market. And once again, just coming back to the first point, so this has to be looked at as a long-term investment potential. You know, you can day trade and you will make money, but you will lose probably as much money as you stand to make if it's not a full-time thing. So our recommendation is, you just understand the kind of long-term factors at play. Pick which bundle you think, I mean, it makes sense to you, the top 10 being the bread and butter. And just forget about it.
Yeah, just let it grow, and hopefully it will do exactly 100%. That. I mean, in the long term, if you believe that decentralized ways to go are precisely the best way for you to grow your money, then this is all you have to do. And if you get in with Revix, you can do it for as little as 500 Rand. You don't need to go and put in huge amounts of money. Everybody thinks you have to be rolling in cash to get invested in cryptocurrencies. You could have $500 and go and start, and it is a start at least, because you don't want to be left out in the cold when everybody else is going, you know, like a couple of years ago when everybody said, oh, I've just made so much money on Bitcoin. And you're left out there with nothing because you just stuck to your mattress and putting your money under that. Thank you, Louis. Nice to speak to you, man.
Thanks, Gary.
Very good. You can always find out more by going to revix.com, R-E-V-I-X.com, R-E-V-I-X. CliffCentral.com. It is just after 7 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to check in on some of the news stories, and we'll take your thoughts, your calls, your ideas. All you have to do is give us a shout on 079-748-2090. We'll take your messages as well. So get in there. Do it now.
This is CliffCentral.com.